Start with two numbers, 71%, 25%. In a laboratory in Wuhan, one group of mice was infected with a bat coronavirus called WIV1. 2 weeks later, five of the seven mice were still alive, 71%. A second group was infected with a virus that did not exist in nature. Scientists had taken the WIV1 backbone and inserted the spike protein from a different bat coronavirus. That spike was called SHC014. 2 weeks later, only two of eight mice survived, 25%. Both numbers come from the same document, not a critic's summary, not a cable news segment, the grant's own progress report. That matters. A progress report is not an op-ed. It is paperwork from the grantee back to the funding agency describing what the project did and what the researchers found. So for this episode, the strongest evidence is not someone else's description of the grant. It is the grant record itself.
Five out of seven mice infected with WIV, one remained alive, while only two of eight mice infected with RWIV1, SHC014S, survived.
This is the public record, episode 2, what the grant actually funded. The first episode followed a paper. This episode follows money. The grant was numbered R01AI110964. Its title was Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. The purpose, on paper, was defensive. Researchers wanted to understand which bat coronaviruses might jump into people, so the world could prepare. That is a legitimate scientific goal. The question is not whether spillover research can matter. It can. The question is what this grant actually paid for, and how clearly the public was told about it. The money started at the NIH. NIH means the National Institutes of Health. It is the main federal biomedical research agency. More specifically, it came through NIAID, the Infectious Disease Institute Anthony Fauci directed. NIAID sits inside NIH. Fauci directed NIAID for decades, which is why he is part of the funding story. From there, it went to EcoHealth Alliance, a New York nonprofit. EcoHealth was the grantee. In plain language, NIH funded EcoHealth to do the project, and from EcoHealth, part of it went as a subaward to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The Wuhan Institute of Virology was the overseas research partner that performed part of the work described in the progress report. NIH, NIAID, EcoHealth, Wuhan, that is the path. The grant had three broad aims: find new bat viruses, model which ones might infect people, then test those predictions. Aim 3 is where the story turns. The progress report names Aim 3 plainly: testing predictions of coronavirus interspecies transmission. In normal language, test whether viruses found in bats might be able to cross into other species, including humans. The phrase interspecies transmission is important, but it is not mysterious. It means a virus moving from one kind of host to another, from bats to another animal, or, in the risk question everyone cared about, from animals into people. The technical tools were reverse genetics, cell culture experiments, receptor tests, and humanized mice. Reverse genetics is a lab method for building or modifying a virus from genetic instructions. Cell culture means testing in cells grown in a lab dish. Receptor tests ask whether a virus can use a particular doorway into a cell. Humanized mice are mice engineered to carry a human receptor. In this case, the receptor was human ACE2. That matters because ACE2 is one of the doors coronaviruses can use to enter cells. So what did the researchers test? The progress report says they infected those mice with four SARS-related coronaviruses. One was a full-length recombinant WIV1 virus. The other three were chimeras. That word sounds abstract. Here it means the scientists used the backbone of one virus and the spike proteins of others. Think of it as testing a swap. The backbone is the main viral structure. The spike is the part that helps the virus attach to cells. The experiment asked what happened when researchers changed that spike. The report says it directly.
Three chimeric viruses with the backbone of WIV1 and S proteins of SHC014, WIV16, and RS4231.
If the phrasing is hard to follow, The grant's plain language summary says the same thing more simply.
We used the genetic codes of some of the other viruses we found in bats and inserted the spike protein genes of those viruses into the cultured viruses.
Then the summary explains why that mattered.
We also showed that some of these viruses cause SARS-like illness in mice that are adapted to have similar cell surface receptors to people.
That is the center of the episode. The work was not just looking at bat viruses in a database. It was not just collecting samples. It was building chimeric viruses and testing them in mice engineered with a human receptor. Again, the stated purpose was to understand risk, but the method was not vague. The grant's own report describes it, and then it describes the result. The experiment ran for 2 weeks. The researchers infected mice with the different viruses and watched survival. All four caused lethal infection in some mice, but one stood out, the SHC014 chimera. The report says that after 14 days, 5 out of 7 mice infected with WIV1 were still alive, but only 2 out of 8 mice infected with the SHC014 chimera survived. The report also says that this chimera was detected in the animal's brains at every time point, showed increasing viral levels after infection, and produced more significant lung lesions. Then the report draws its conclusion.
The pathogenicity of SHC014 is higher than other tested bat SARS-related coronaviruses in transgenic mice that express human ACE2.
Pathogenicity means the ability to cause disease. So translated carefully, the grant report says this lab-made chimera caused more disease in those humanized mice than the other bat coronaviruses tested. That does not answer where COVID came from. It does answer a narrower question. What kind of work did the grant fund? It funded the creation and testing of chimeric bat coronaviruses. One of them made humanized mice markedly sicker, and the SARS-related mouse experiment was not the only engineered virus work described in the report. There was a parallel line involving MERS. MERS is a different coronavirus disease. It is not COVID. It matters here only because the same report describes another engineered virus test in the same broader grant work. The report says researchers built a full-length infectious clone of the MERS virus and replaced one of its binding regions with binding regions from bat coronaviruses.
These chimeric MERS coronaviruses were able to infect human cells from different tissues, including lung, liver, intestine, and kidney.
That line is not there to say MERS caused COVID. It did not. It is there because it shows the pattern of the grant. Find bat viruses, swap genetic parts, test what the new construct can do in human cells or humanized animals. That is more specific than the public shorthand usually allowed. And for more than a year, that fact was not central to the public story. It became public in a very different way, through a letter to Congress. On October 20th, 2021, Lawrence Tabak, a senior official at the NIH, wrote to Representative James Comer. Tabak was NIH's principal deputy director. That made the letter different from a critic's allegation. It was NIH speaking in its own name. Comer was a member of Congress receiving an official response in an oversight fight. The point is not Comer's politics. The point is that Congress had asked questions and NIH answered on paper. The letter was only 2 pages, but it changed the record. Tabak wrote that the final progress report had been submitted to NIH in August 2021. After what he called compliance enforcement efforts. Then he described the experiment.
The limited experiment was testing if spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model.
And then came the sentence that made headlines.
Laboratory mice infected with the SHC014WIV, one bat coronavirus, became sicker than those infected with the WIV1 bat coronavirus.
That was the NIH describing the same basic result the grant report had recorded. Mice became sicker. Tabak also wrote that the result was unexpected. The researchers, he said, had not set out to make the mice sicker, but the grant terms mattered. They included a tripwire. If an experiment produced a one-log increase in growth, the grantee was supposed to report it immediately. That reporting was supposed to trigger a secondary review. Tabak wrote that EcoHealth did not report the finding right away.
A requirement that the grantee report immediately a one-log increase in growth.
The Select Subcommittee later made EcoHealth's reporting failures a central finding. That subcommittee was the House panel that investigated the pandemic response. Its reports matter because they gather documents and testimony, but its stronger conclusions are congressional characterizations. That is the committee's characterization, and it should be kept in that box. But the NIH letter itself is enough for the basic fact. There was a reporting requirement. NIH said EcoHealth failed to report the finding right away. Now comes the phrase that turned this story into a years-long public fight. Gain of function. In May 2021, Senator Rand Paul pressed Fauci at a Senate hearing about the Wuhan funding. This was the Senate Health Committee. The useful thing for this episode is not the cable news argument that followed. It is the official hearing transcript. That transcript gives us Fauci's answer before the tobacco letter. Fauci's answer was categorical.
The NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
5 months later, the NIH letter described an experiment in Wuhan in which a lab-made bat coronavirus left humanized mice sicker. So was Fauci wrong? The answer depends on what someone means by gain of function, and that is the problem. In plain English, many people hear gain of function and think an experiment that gives an organism a new or enhanced ability. By that everyday meaning, a lab-made virus making humanized mice sicker sounds like it belongs in the conversation. But the NIH was using a narrower regulatory frame. Tabak wrote that the research was not subject to review under the HSP3CO framework because those bat coronaviruses had not been shown to infect humans. P3CO was the federal review framework for certain research involving potential pandemic pathogens. That phrase is clunky, so here is the listener version. It was a gate. If a proposed experiment fit inside that gate, it received extra departmental review. NIH's position was that this work did not fit inside that gate.
Not subject to departmental review under the HHSP3CO framework.
That is not a minor footnote. It is the hinge. One side was arguing from the experimental result. The other side was answering under a regulatory definition. The same phrase carried two meanings, and the public was rarely given both at the same time. This show is not going to settle the label by shouting it louder. The record is stronger than the label. It shows the experiment. It shows the result. It shows the oversight tripwire. It shows the denial. And it shows why the denial depends on a definition most listeners never heard. Now the boundary. This record does not establish that this grant produced SARS-CoV-2. The NIH letter says the opposite. It says the viruses studied under the EcoHealth grant are not and could not have become SARS-CoV-2. It says even the closest known related viruses were far too divergent to have been the progenitor.
Are not and could not have become SARS-CoV-2.
That sentence matters. If someone tells you this grant proves the pandemic virus was created by this work, the documents do not support that. The record also does not establish that the gain-of-function label is settled. It is contested. The regulatory definition and the plain English description point in different directions. The record does not establish that anyone intended harm. The project was framed as defensive spillover research. Surveillance and preparedness are real public health goals. But the record does establish something narrower and sturdier. It establishes that U.S. government funding flowed through EcoHealth to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It establishes that the grant's own report described making chimeric bat coronaviruses. It establishes that one of those chimeras made humanized mice sicker. It establishes that NIH later acknowledged the result and the missed reporting requirement. And it establishes that public officials had answered the controversy using a phrase whose meaning was anything but clear. Episode 1 was about confidence. Private uncertainty became public certainty. Episode 2 is about scope. The public story was often small, immodest grant, bat surveillance, no gain of function, but the grant paperwork tells a more specific story. Backbones, spikes, humanized mice, a survival gap, a reporting tripwire, and a definition fight hiding inside one phrase. The point is not that every loud claim was true. Many were not. The point is that the official simplification was not the whole record. And once you see that, the next question becomes unavoidable. What did they mean when they said gain of function? Next time on the public record, the definition problem.